kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Magandang-magandang umaga mga kababayan! Maraming salamat sa inyong patuloy na pakikinig sa programa ng SBS Filipino. And it's really great to be back ngayong araw ng Lunes, ika-5 ng Mayo. At maraming salamat sa ating tagapagbalita. Naku, napakarami pong nangyari over the weekend. At syempre, pagpasok pa lang ng buwan ay sunod-sunod na rin ang mga kaganapan sa Australia at maging sa Pilipinas. Kaya naman, kumustahin natin, balikan natin ang ating kasamang si Martin Tuanyo. Ano nga ba ang kanyang mga nilulook forward ngayong buwan ng Mayo? Hello, Martin!
Magandang umaga, Edinel. Welcome back at magandang umaga po sa lahat ng nakikinig sa atin ngayong Lunes dito sa SBS Filipino. Tama ka dyan. Napakarami ng nangyari, no, Abril hanggang Mayo. Actually, nung habang wala ka pala, no, medyo ang dami na nangyari. parang sunod-sunod ang nangyayari dito sa Pilipinas, sa iba't ibang bahagi, sa Pilipinas, sa iba't ibang bahagi ng mundo, lalo na dito rin sa Australia. At mas marami pa tayong dapat abangan sa mga susunod na araw.
Oo, tama ka dyan. At ito nga lamang, first week pa lang ng May, siksik na no, sa mga kaganapan, lalong-lalo na dito sa Australia, katatapos lang ng federal election itong nagdaang Saturday. Pero bago yan, syempre hindi nagpahuli ang Pilipinas. May pa-Miss Universe muna, Philippines. Ang Pilipinas kung saan kinoronahan nga itong si Atisa Manalo. And sunod-sunod, ano, May 3rd, marami ding mga activities and events, pero nagpapatuloy yan at magpapatuloy pa sa mga susunod na araw. Pero ikaw ba, ngayong pasok na ang buwan ng Mayo, aside from Flores de Mayo, ano ba mga inaabangan mo?
Actually, ako ang isa sa mga inaabangan ko kahit nandito ako sa Australia ay yung Philippine election naman. Since natapos na tayo sa federal na halalan dito sa Australia, yun namang election o halalan sa Pilipinas ang inaabangan natin, Edinel, dahil parang isa rin to sa mga malalaking kaganapan sa bansa natin. At yun ulit, panibagong set of mga iboboto natin sa nationals ang iniintay. Kaya isang kaabang-abang na to na pangyayari para sa Pilipinas.
Oo, lalong-lalo na para sa mga overseas Filipino voters na first time naman na mangyayari na boboto online, ano, gamit yung mga mobile devices nila o mga computers nila, mararanasan ng makaboto online. So malalaman natin kung gaano ito ka-epektibo para sa lahat or kung gaano nga baka kabilis ang magiging ano, no, resulta ng botohan sa ganitong proseso. And ang dami pang mga inaabangan, ano, na pangyayari. Kahit na midterm election pa lang ito sa Pilipinas, pero mukhang medyo mainit. Lagi namang mainit, ano, usapin ng election sa atin. Napaka kulay. And talking about makulay, ito na mention ko na kanina, May is also yan, maraming fiesta, maraming festivals tayong sineselebrate. And isa na dyan itong Flores de Mayo. Ikaw ba, nakaranas ka ng makasali sa mga Flores de Mayo, mga mag-escort sa mga parada?
Yeah. Yan. Alam mo, nito mga nakaraang araw na papag-usapan namin yan dito sa Melbourne, mga kasamahan natin sa SBS Filipino. At hindi talaga ako nakasali o hindi ako nakasama dyan sa mga ganyan, no, Flores de Mayo. Naranasan ko na lang mag Flores de Mayo, yung parang mismong event, makakita ng event dito. Noong nabigyan tayo ng oportunidad dito sa SBS Filipino, pero hindi talaga tayo nagkaroon ng chance na yung mismong ikaw yung nasa prosesyon, ikaw yung pinapanood, di ba? Ikaw ba, Edinel?
Ako, hindi rin ako mismong nakakasama sa mga prosesyon, pero nanonood ako, saka sobrang ina-admire ko yung mga suot ng mga ng mga reyna. At saka syempre may iba-ibang meaning yun, di ba, yung bawat pagiging reyna nila. So isa yun sa mga inaantabayan ng lagi namin sa probinsya, yung parada na napakarami. Yes. Halos lahat ng mga kabataan ay nagiging kasama, and dala-dala yan ng mga kababayan natin hanggang dito sa Australia. In fact, nitong weekend or kahapon lang, nag-start na rin dito sa Sydney, meron ng ilang grupo itong Lakas Filipina na nagsimula ng kanilang parada ng Flores de Mayo kahapon. At ito nga, sinama nila yung kanilang mga queens, ang kanilang mga miyembro na pumarada naman at nagpasimula nitong gawain ito. And I'm sure, hindi lamang dito yan sa Sydney. Sunod-sunod sa iba-iba pang mga bahagi ng Australia, sa iba't ibang estado, meron na rin mga ginagawang ganito.
Tama ka dyan, lalo na dito sa Melbourne. Alam ko this week or alam ko nung ano nung Sabado lang eh meron na parang ginaganap na parang Flores de Mayo dito sa Melbourne at isa to sa mga magagandang ano no tradisyon na hindi natin kinakalimutan bilang mga Pilipino kahit nandito na sa Australia kahit iba na yung parang panahon kasi di ba sa Pilipinas ipinagdiriwang talaga natin yung Flores de Mayo traditionally dahil parang pagpapasalamat siya di ba sa ulan. Dahil nga doon sa atin sa Pilipinas ay summer, 'di ba? Tag-init. So para nagpapasalamat pala. Ang meaning pala ng Flores de Mayo ay pagpapasalamat sa parang biyaya ng ulan kaya nagbo-bloom yung mga bulaklak, 'di ba? Para nagkakaroon ng maayos na buhay yung mga halaman or mga bulaklak. Kaya parang napakagandang isipin na ganun yung mensahe ng ginagawa natin sa tradisyon natin.
Oo, at ito din yung mga bulaklak ang inaalay din naman sa mga Virgin Marys na yes. Sa ano sa birhen ano para sa mga ganitong pagkakataon. So iba't iba din yung paraan din nila ng pag-celebrate or nung paggunita ng mga ganitong gawaing mga religious activities. And talking about religious activities, itong week din na ito napakahalaga para sa mga Katoliko dahil ito rin yung napapanahon na pagpili sa susunod na leader ng Catholic Church ang Santo Papa kahit inaantabayan na natin. Mamaya, meron tayong ibibigay sa kanila na panayam ng isang theologian sa panayam naman ito ni Maridel Martinez at ipapaliwanag nila yung role ng Santo Papa sa simbahang Katoliko. Isa rin yan sa ating tinututukan.
Yes, so isa yan sa mga talagang inaabangan natin dahil nga lagi naman natin naririnig na no, sa mga balita na isa sa mga posible daw na maging sunod na sunod na Santo Papa ay si Cardinal Tagle.
Oo, so matunog ang pangalan niya.
Tama ka dyan. Kaya isa yan sa mga aabangan talaga lalo na ng mga Pilipino. At syempre may mga nauna na rin tayong mga ulat no, mula kay Maridel Martinez at Annalyn Violata sa ating sa ating SBS Filipino website na maaari nilang balikan kasi nandoon din talaga yung iba't ibang pinag-usapan pa kung ano ba yung mga aring mga susunod na hakbang at ano ba yung parang ano ba yung mga pwedeng mangyari sa pagpili ng bagong Santo Papa.
Tama ka dyan. At syempre may panahon pa naman kayo para maghanda dahil itong susunod na Sunday para naman sa mga nanay. Ito naman yung panahon para bigyan sila ng time off siguro o ng something para maiparamdam yung appreciation sa ating mga nanay. So Mother's Day na po this next Sunday ano. So sa mga hindi nakakaalala o baka biglang ngayon nyo lang na natandaan na second Sunday ng Mayo ay Mother's Day, maghanap na kayo ngayon ng inyong pwedeng iregalo o kung ano yung mga activities na pwede ninyong gawin with your moms. Ikaw ba anong may nakaplano na ba, Martin?
Thank you sa pagpapaalala, Edinel, dahil ngayon ko lang din naalala na Mother's Day na sa Linggo kaya naman ay hindi natin alam kung anong since malayo tayo sa magulang natin. Siguro bahala na kung ano na lang ang ano baka pambili na lang pang online shopping na lang. Pero para mababa pa ang palitan natin, 'di ba? Pero yun nga tama ka diyan no, kung ano kahit simple gesture lang para sa mga nanay natin. Siguro kayo na lang muna ang maghugas ng mga pinggan.
Totoo
for
yan.
That day,
alam mo
diba?
Sobrang na-appreciate doon ng mga nanay ang mga ganyan na yes. Ano yung sa mga gawaing bahay lang kahit isang araw ay makapahinga man lang or makita man lang nila yung mga anak na nagkakaroon ng initiative bilang regalo na rin para sa kanila kahit dapat naman araw-araw talaga silang tinutulungan, 'di ba? Pero mas nagiging special kapag nakikita nila yung mga anak nila na gumagawa ng gawaing bahay.
Yes, oo naman. Kahit less than 24 hours lang yun, bigay na yun natin sa kanila.
Sila muna ang reyna. Kaya naman ako, antabayan na natin ang mga magiging kaganapan at magkakaroon din ng special na ulat dyan na ating kasamang si Annalyn Violata na siya namang magtatampok ng mga Mother's Day ano natin specials. Yan din ay sa araw ng Linggo. Kaya nako mga kababayan, yan ay ating paalala. At syempre, laging tumutok dito sa SBS Filipino para sa iba't iba pang mga kaganapan dahil hindi nauubos ano, ang mga events or ang mga balita at mga kaganapan, impormasyon na amin pong inihahatid sa inyo sa loob at labas man ng Australia yan or ng Pilipinas. At with you, Martin, ano mga dapat nating abangan?
Maraming salamat, Edinel. Lagi pa rin po kayo nakatutok sa SBS Filipino para sa iba't ibang storya at kwento. Gayon din sa SBS Examines na lagi nating iniuulat tungkol sa Australia ngayong natapos na ang halalan dito sa Australia. Ano kaya ang mga susunod na hakbang para sa Australia at marami pa pong iba. Maraming salamat, Edinel.
Maraming salamat, Martin Tuanyo. At sa atin pong pagbabalik, atin namang aalamin ang mga update matapos ang eleksyon dito sa Australia. Kumusta na kaya itong ilang mga partido, lalong-lalo na yung mga hindi pinalad na magwagi dito sa federal election. Nagbabalik tayo sa ating programa. Ang ating oras, 10:24 ng umaga, yan po ay dito sa Sydney. Salamat-salamat ulit sa mga patuloy na nakatutok. At kung hindi pa kayo nakafollow, puntahan nyo kami sa aming Instagram at SBS Filipino sa Facebook, ganun din SBS Filipino, at syempre www.sbs.com.au/Filipino ang aming website para sa mga podcast updates at napapanahong ulat. And talking about updates, ngayon po ay natapos na nga ang federal election, pero nahaharap sa pinakamasaklap na resulta sa kasaysayan ng federal na halalan ang koalisyon matapos ang matinding pagkatalo sa Labor. Natalo si Peter Dutton sa kanyang pwesto, kaya kailangan ding maghanap ng Liberal Party ng bagong leader. At bukod sa koalisyon, alanganin din ang kalagayan ngayon ng Greens. Narito ang ulat. Ang halalang ito ay tagumpay na lampas sa inaasahan ng Labor, at muling nanalo si Anthony Albanese bilang punong ministro matapos makakuha ang kanyang partido ng hindi bababa sa 12 dagdag na seats o pwesto. Ito yung pinakamalaking mayorya sa mahigit isang dekada. Sinimula ni Prime Minister ang kanyang tagumpay sa sarili niyang distrito sa Grindler, kung saan siya ay sinalubong ng mga taga-suportang mula sa kanilang Labor Party sa isang cafe.
Yeah, one thing. So, what did you all do last night?
Nakapagtala ng hindi bababa sa 88 na pwesto ang Labor, habang 33 pa lamang ang napapanatili ng koalisyon, at wala pa itong nadadagdag na pwesto sa buong bansa. Ang pinakakapuna-punang pagkatalo ay ang mismong distrito ng dating pinuno ng oposisyon na si Peter Dutton sa Dickson, na nakuha ni Ali France ng Labor ng may mga malaking lamang. At may humigit kumulang 20 pwesto pa ang hindi patiyak ang resulta.
Be assured, I will be an MP for everyone in our community, whether you voted for me or not. My door will always be open, and I will work my little heart out for you every day.
Aminado naman sa pagkatalo ang Greens sa Brisbane at Griffith, at nanganganib na mawalan pa ng pwesto sa Ryan at sa Melbourne ang distrito ni Adam Band, bagamat may tsansang makuha ang katabing distrito ng Wills. Hindi naman alintana ni Green Senator Sarah Hanson-Young ang naging resulta, at sinabing malakas pa rin ang kanilang presensya sa Senado.
We now have the most progressive parliament Australia has ever seen. And there's an opportunity for genuine progressive reform.
Nakuha na rin ng Labor ang South Australia at Tasmania, at napapanatili ang lahat ng pwesto sa Western Australia at nadagdagan pa. Nalagas naman ang Liberal Party sa mga lungsod at nabigong makaabot sa mga lugar sa labas ng syudad na kanilang tinatarget. Nagbigay ng pahayag si Keith Woolahan, ang outgoing na miyembro ng Liberal Party mula sa Menzies sa ABC.
Our party has an issue in urban Australia, which is where most people live. Most people live in cities. So we need to turn our mind to that like we have never done before.
Samantala, nagpaabot ng pagbati kay Anthony Albanese ang mga pinuno ng iba't ibang bansa tulad ng PNG, Canada, United Kingdom, Ukraine, India, France at Indonesia. Nagpadala rin ng pagbati ang Estados Unidos sa pamamagitan ng Secretary of State na si Marco Rubio. Ngayon, nakatuon si Prime Minister Anthony Albanese sa pagpapatuloy ng mga layunin ng kanyang unang termino.
The positive program we took to this election was shaped by the Australian people's priorities. And our government will dedicate the next 3 years to making a positive difference to your lives and to your future.
Samantala, sinisikap namang makaahon ng koalisyon, ayon ito kay Nationals leader David Littleproud sa panayam ng Sky News.
We've got to dust ourselves off. There's lessons to be learned from this. You can't ignore it.
At maghahanap naman ng bagong leader ang Liberal Party, pero ayon kay Ginoong Littleproud, ngayon pa lamang ay nagsisimula na ang prosesong ito.
there's obviously some hurt and there's some rawness, not only for them but for all of us, that they have to work through. And I don't think making comments and adding to commentary when people are raw will add to any value to that, but the Liberals will work through that process.
At yan ang binuong ulat ni Rania Ayalo para sa SBS News na isinalin sa ating wika. At nagbabalik tayo sa ating programa. Edinal Magtibay pa rin ang inyong kasama. At ngayon, tayo naman ay dadako sa isa sa mga pinaka-inaantabayanan ano, ng mga, lalo na ng mga Pilipinong Katoliko. Ito po ay ang pagpili ng magiging leader, sunod na leader ng simbahang Katoliko. At ngayong darating na Miyerkules, 7 ng Mayo, sisimulan na ng 135 na kardinal ang kanilang pagpili para sa susunod na leader ng simbahan. At marami po nagsasabi, isa sa mga paborito o matunog ngayon ay ang Pilipinong kardinal na si Cardinal Tagle. Atin pong nakausap ang theologian na si Dr. Cristina Ledo Gomez at ipinaliwanag niya kung ano ang gagampan ng papel ng Santo Papa sa simbahang Katoliko at kung ano-ano rin ang maaring maging kahulugan para sa hinaharap ng simbahan sakali pong mapili ang isang Asian, particular ang Pilipinong Pope. Narito po ang ulat at panayam mula kay Maridel Martinez.
Kasama ko ngayon si Dr. Cristina Ledo Gomez mula BBI, Australian Institute of Theological Education, at ating pag-uusapan ang kahalagahan ng papel o ang kahalagahan ng ginagampan ng papel ng Santo Papa sa simbahan. Magandang araw!
Magandang araw sa inyo po.
Maraming salamat sa panahon mo.
Maraming salamat rin.
So nitong mga huling araw, no, naging sentro ng usapin ng maraming mga Katoliko sa buong mundo ang pagpanaw ni Pope Francis. At itong mga susunod na araw ay naghahanda na para pumili ng susunod na leader ng simbahang Katoliko. Pwede mo sa aming ibahagi kung gaano kahalaga ang ginagampan ng papel ng Santo Papa o ng Pope sa simbahang Katoliko?
The Pope unites us as the Church. As we saw with this current Pope, he models for us what is the way forward for the Church, especially in response to the current times. And he leads both clergy and lay alike to, you know, how we go forward as a Catholic Church.
What I distinctly remember about him is in his encounters with people, he wasn't very strict with how he interpreted God's word.
Yes, definitely. So I guess, the idea of the authority of the Pope, or even like the idea of authority in the Church, you know, there's been debates on this for decades, for centuries. Some people's idea of authority is like the authoritarian, you know, or the parent who, you know, says children are to be seen but not heard. And then there's the other type of parent who says, you know, I don't know everything and I can learn something from my own children. And it's a dialogue rather than, a one-way monologue. With Pope Francis, he takes up the Vatican II way, which is, you know, previous to Vatican II, the Church is very insular and, you know, really focused on itself. And almost it was about, thinking of Church teachings as something to be preserved and just to be handed on to the next generation. And that's obviously in response to a certain context. But, you know, in the 60s, particularly 62, 65, when Vatican II happened, you know, lots of things were happening. You had, you know, obviously the women's movement, the black movement for liberation. It was a time of change. And if the Church did not respond to that and became more insular rather than something that wanted to dialogue with the world, it was really going to, you know, turn in on itself. And so the thing that really distinguishes Vatican II is it became a Church that's more pastoral something that's reaching out to the world for the world rather than just about preserving itself. And this is something that Pope Francis has done from the very beginning of his papacy, which is, his favorite image is the Church is a field hospital. We need to go out there and we need to tend to the wounds before we even talk about teachings or, how to follow Christ. And his very way of being Christian is, you know, attend to the person in front of you. Don't attend to the ideology, but rather attend to the person. So this is really what's been very beautiful about Pope Francis, and which has also enabled him to be able to, address some of our current issues today. Like, for example, the LGBTQ issue. Originally, the church, you know, had a very strong stance about the LGBTQ community. And yet, whenever we hear how Pope Francis talks about the LGBTQ community, it's always in this pastoral way that they have dignity and that we should treat them with dignity. And they are one of the vulnerable people in the world, and they shouldn't be excluded. And also, even with his limitations as an old Italian, South American man, he also he has ideas about women. He also understands that women actually need to be in the places of decision making in the church. And so he's trying to make room for that. But he also doesn't want to. And I think this is what's really, really the very heart of like Pope Francis' legacy, which is he's left us a legacy of dialogue. You know, so the synod on synodality that happened in 2021, 2024. And his idea is that wherever we're coming from on a certain issue or how Christianity should be practiced, everyone should have a voice at the table. Everyone should feel like they're heard, and we should all find a way to work together towards the common good. And so, I think previous to this idea of synodality, you know, people were just saying, oh, I'm a leftist, I'm on the right, and there was mm-hmm. just a division, and we couldn't move forward as a church. Yeah, I think this is his legacy, and this is what we're really hoping that is continued by the next pope, whoever that person is.
So the problem with change in leadership, there can be a change in the way things are run.
Oh, definitely. And that would be unfortunate, because Pope Francis has actually created a doorway for us to begin to have dialogue. And if you close that door and you close that dialogue, you know, it's almost unimaginable what the church could look like, you know. And I mean, there are some people who are frustrated because Vatican II happened in 1962. Where are we now? 2025. And we still don't feel the effects of Vatican II. And so, you know, to close that doorway, to close that dialogue, means we're going to go back to pre-Vatican II. And I think there are some people who would like for that to happen. But also, the thing is, that's not how God works. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. You know, the Holy Spirit always moves us to places of uncomfortability if mm-hmm. we need to. And that's because, you know, we're always led towards God. We're always led towards love, the love of God. So,
but here in Australia, if you go to church on a Sunday or a Saturday, you would see that there are very few people, like a handful of people, who regularly attend church.
Definitely.
And there's sometimes it's just the older members of the community that are present, and you would only see younger members of the community come into church when it's baptism time or it's Christmas or it's Easter.
Yeah. I totally get that. I get that a lot. And that's something that, you know, it's saying something to the Australian church. And this is a problem for both the Australian bishops and the whole church, the lay, to come to terms with. At the same time, just last week I was sitting in a church where young people had done a pilgrimage from Blacktown to Parramatta. So I think that was, you can work out the kilometers there.
Yes,
they did that.
They walked
like overnight. Right.
Okay.
They walked and they moved. They did the Stations of the Cross, and, you know, like in the early hours of the morning. And I think about 1400 young people were participating in that. I mean, yes, most of them were like migrants, like Filipinos and mm-hmm. Indians,
Asians,
Fijians. Yeah. So a lot of the global south young people, people from the global south and migrants were there. And so I guess, if anything, the church is still growing in that, in terms of that. But in terms of the rest of the Australian population, yeah, it is a concern. In saying that too, I mean, some people say when Christianity became the official religion under Constantine, this was the fourth century, you know, people became Christians because they had to, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it just became part of the culture. And so I guess with those young people, you know, being a Christian is continuing the legacy and the culture of their parents, their families. So culture is very much intertwined with religion. And so that's one reason why it's still thriving in those migrant communities. But for those, like, you know, especially the Australian communities where the congregation is dying, it's mostly older people, you know, it's not part of their everyday culture. And and look, I teach teachers of religion here at BVI, Australian Institute of Theological Education. And even teachers themselves don't even understand they have misunderstandings of basic things like, in you know, how the Bible is to be interpreted, not as a historical document, you know, historical scientific document, but a theological document, meaning people are making sense of their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the idea that the world is created in 7 days is, or 14 days or 1 day is ridiculous, because it's not meant to be interpreted that way. It's meant to say something else. But if you're going to read the Bible literally that way, then, you know, you're not actually understanding the point of that particular text, right?
Yes.
So even simple things like that.
Well, in recent days leading up to the conclave, one of the favorites is a Filipino.
Yes. Yeah.
Why do you think he's been singled out?
Let's just say, whenever people say their favorites, especially in the media, it's never ever worked out that person has become the Pope. That's just my take on that, and other people's take on that. But this person, our Cardinal Tagle, I think he is in a way being pointed out, because it's saying something about people saying, well, actually, maybe we really need a Pope from South Asia, because actually we've never ever had a Pope from South Asia. And he would be continuing this legacy of Pope Francis of focusing on the poor, and not just, you know, the poor in that kind of idealistic way, but actually, you know, in the way that Pope Francis engaged with the poor, it's meeting the poor as people who have dignity. And so, you know, yeah, Cardinal Tagle would very much do that. But also, let me remind you that there are other two Filipino cardinals who could fit that bill. The only thing is that they've just been made cardinals to this year. Tagle, he was already a favorite back in 2013.
Yes.
And then they said at the time he was too young. But then now, yeah, he would be right for it. At the same time, there are also people saying, well, he's been given some positions of leadership, and he hasn't really shown much in those positions of leadership.
Controversy. But what would an Asian pope mean, just in case?
Yeah, an Asian pope, definitely. Look, especially if it's like a Filipino Asian pope, it would mean not just highlighting. The thing here is, we still live, even though we, you know, the colonial period is over, you know, you don't have colonizers going into indigenous lands, we still live with that legacy, right? And so we still have the, you know, the mindset of the empire in many places, and domination. And that's just not even, you know, the good news. That isn't the gospel. An Asian pope would highlight, you know, the church of the poor, which was what Pope Francis was all about, you know, preferential option for the poor. And also, it would mean too, I actually think, bringing in things like the value of kapwa. There's values that the Asian Filipino
community,
community Filipino values that could like actually help the current church at the moment. I mean, you know, this idea of being synodal, in some ways, you know, like for us as Filipinos, we'll just go, yeah, like we do that all the time. We always pakisama the other person. We don't like try to create divisions. We try to, you know, create harmony as much as we can. And we understand that other people are different. You know, we just have to find a way to go forward. But, you know, bringing that idea of kapwa, I know like it has, you know, in other languages, like the Africans have the same idea of Ubuntu, you know, the self and the other. And so, you know, bringing that into a church would just really help the church to continue the legacy started by Pope Francis and you know, which is really not just Pope Francis, but it's Pope Francis promoting Vatican II. And, yeah, just like trying to open more doors so that the church actually is being relevant to people's lives and talking to them about their lives rather than talking down to them.
Maraming salamat, Dr. Christina Liadig Gomez ng BBI, Australian Institute of Theological Education.
No worries. And it was a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope you've learned something from what I've said.
Ngayon naman, pag-uusapan natin ang kaganapan sa darating na katapusan ng Mayo kung saan ipapaalam ang overall winner ng Archibald Prize. At sa pagkakataon pong ito, babalikan natin ang kwento ng Pilipinang-Australyanong nagawaran ng 2022 Young Archibald Prize para sa portrait ng kanyang kapatid na neurodivergent. Ito ang Retro Radio sa panayam kay Jasmine Goon sa kanyang 2022 Young Archibald Prize mula kay Maridel Martinez.
Retro Radio, pagbabalik tanaw sa mga piling panayam at usaping mula sa SBS Filipino Archives. Kasama ko ngayon si Jasmine Goon, ang Young Archibald Awardee para sa taong ito. Congratulations, Jasmine!
Thank you!
Kamusta ka na?
I'm good, thank you!
So, first and foremost, what inspired you to join the Archibald?
I've always seen it around. I've always just been seeing what's on the internet about the art world that's really available to young people, especially people under 18, which is the demographic I sort of fit into. I've always just sort of wanted to advocate for a message, and I've seen a lot of other young artists in the past do that. So I thought it'd be a really nice idea to actually join in and participate in that fun creativity while spreading a nice message.
The Archibald focuses on portraits.
Yes, portraiture.
And you chose someone close to you. Can you tell us why?
I chose my younger brother, Kevin, because ever since we were younger, he has grown up with me, obviously, and he's been diagnosed with autism since he was a toddler. And so growing up with him would be a lot more different compared to a lot of other siblings who might just not be neurodivergent.
How long did it take you to decide, I'm going to draw Kevin?
That actually took a while, actually. I was thinking about joining, but then it just kind of came to me and I was like, okay, I might just do a picture of my brother. Might have taken around maybe a couple of weeks when I'd thought about joining the Archibald Prize.
And it's very impressive because when I look at the portrait, it looks like I'm looking directly at your brother. How long did it take you to finish it or complete it?
That's a shocking question, actually. It took me a really long time. It maybe took me about 10-ish hours.
That's not a long time.
Yeah, took a lot of patience.
But that's not a long time. 10 hours, less than a day, literally.
I'd say 10 to 15 hours, 10 to a bit stretch, yeah. But yeah.
2 working days. I know some artists would say, I'm not in the mood, or this is not the right time, I'm not in the right frame of mind. Did you have that, or were you just like, right, I'm going to draw Kevin and I'm going to do it, and you just finished it in a flash?
I kind of just started my process out by sketching pictures of my brother, like, you know, just live and doing observational things. And then I kind of took a few photos, since Kevin doesn't really like sitting still, and that's okay. So I did take a few photos of him, and then I did capture a shot of him looking directly at the camera, because he likes to look at things when he's, you know, you've captured his interest. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I did choose that photo, and I did do some, like, sketches of that photo before I actually proceeded into doing the final.
What's your relationship with Kevin like? I get this sense that you two are very close.
Yes, yeah, Kevin and I are pretty close, even though it's, like, it's in our own way very different. Kevin and I like to ask each other what the weather was today, what colour clothes we're wearing today. We usually bond over that after school, and sometimes we like to play games together.
How old is Kevin?
Kevin should be turning 15 this year, but he's 14 at the moment.
There is a two-year gap between you and Kevin, but you're both yep. teenagers. Are there teenager things that you guys like to do?
I wouldn't say so, actually. Most of the time we bond over, like, pretty mutual things, such as playing games, as I mentioned before.
What is it like growing up with Kevin, knowing that he is not like any other ordinary child or teenager?
For me, it felt like indifferent. I was just more aware of those things and that they exist. And, yeah, definitely did sort of educate me on more on, like, disabled siblings and whatnot, and understanding that from other people.
And I'm sure he has bad days and good days. What is it like for you when he has a bad day?
When Kevin has a bad day, he does tend to cry a lot, and that's okay. Yeah, those bad days, he usually just, like, cries a lot, I suppose.
And you've learned how to handle it?
Yeah, he does get very emotional. Handling and managing it is pretty easy and okay, because we do get him to calm down quite easily.
So coming from a family whose parents come from different cultures and have grew up in different places, because your mom's Filipina and your dad grew up in Australia, so growing up with a brother who was diagnosed with autism, what did you learn?
I'd say I've learned how different cultures may deal with that with a disabled child, and raising, like, obviously my parents, raising him together with me in the picture, it is definitely harder to manage when you have a disabled sibling. And it was definitely hard to manage, because a lot of the time I wouldn't understand why my brother would be getting more attention than me.
How'd you cope with that?
I probably coped with that by trying to regain more attention, but over time I obviously realized that my brother was, like, my brother's needs, and I became more accepted and okay with that.
And what did art do for you? Because you mentioned earlier that you've been doing art for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
How did art help you, or did it help you?
Art helped me along the track, but I really just started having an interest in it because I always wanted to, I had a drive to actually draw and perfect that all the time. I always like replicating pictures. I always wanted to keep creating things for myself, whether that was like a handmade kite, handmade posters, anything really. I just had the drive to do that, and art's always helped me cope by like expressing my creative liability.
You've never had formal training outside of school, so I take it that you just really like doing it and practicing for hours.
Yeah, I did practice a lot more when I was younger and I had a lot of time, but when I did hit high school, I did definitely take more interest in drawing realistically, especially when I was 12 years old, 13 years old, and then it kind of hit off from there. But I did, before that stage, I did draw a lot more when I was younger.
And now what are your subjects like?
Well, I do like to draw a lot of animals and a lot of portraiture, a lot of the colours. I really like to draw to set a theme and a style and aesthetic, and kind of find my own sort of style and whatnot. And my subjects are going pretty well. I do year 12 art at the moment in year 11. I do studio art in year 11. And I also do product design and technology in year 11. And all three of those are folio subjects. I'm doing pretty all right at those, and I do enjoy them.
I'm guessing this is a path you'd like to take further?
Yes, I would definitely like to take this path further.
How do you see yourself, say, in 5-6 years from now? What vision do you have for yourself?
I don't really have a clear vision. I know I'll be doing something to do with art, but for now I kind of don't really think about the future as much. I do like to just focus on how I'm doing now, and then that creates your own future.
And lastly, What was your reaction, your mom's reaction, your dad's reaction when you got that message that you won the Young Archibald?
I found out when I knew I was a finalist, I knew that the awards would obviously be announced on a certain day. And so when that day came, I decided to look at around maybe 12 p.m. I had a little look and I scrolled down and I saw like a glimpse of mine and I was like, no way this can happen. And I did scroll a bit further and I was very surprised. I was screaming and I called my mom and my dad, but no one was home. My mom was at work and my dad was obviously on a drive with my little brother. So I was at home all alone, just crying and screaming.
And when they finally came home, I'm guessing you all celebrated.
Yeah, I was just like, Dad, look here.
They must be very like, proud of you.
Yeah.
And what does this Young Archibald Prize mean to you?
For me, it means that there's a lot of hope for the future when it revolves around conveying a message and supporting families that have neurodivergent siblings.
And hopefully your art will share that message more and more as you grow older.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully I get to convey more messages in the future that the world gets to know about.
Thank you, Jasmine, for sharing your story with us and your brother's story as well.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
E-like, e-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.